And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. There was given unto him a great sword. If you will note, the first seal that was opened was represented by a man seated upon a white horse. Contrary to what many ministers and churches believe, that is not Jesus Christ, but this is the rise of the Antichrist. Christ, at this particular time in chapter 6, is with his church in heaven. He came for his church in Revelation chapter 4, the first two verses, and Christ is in heaven with his church and is not seen anymore on earth until the revelation of Jesus Christ in chapter 19, when his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives. Now, if we can get all of this straight in our minds, the church is raptured. The translation of the saints has already taken place when the seals are opened in Revelation chapter 6. No seal can be opened until the church is taken out of the way. Judgment is about to fall. It was announced by a voice that sounded like thunder. Judgment is about to fall. All the acts under the seven seals are acts of judgment. The scene is a judgment scene. The throne is a judgment throne. If you will note, the first horse was white, the white horse. The second horse is red. I know that a lot of people do not understand why that God has mentioned horses so many times in the Bible. But if you will listen tonight to a scripture that I'll read from Job, the 39th chapter, and the 19th verse, in ancient days, horses were held in very high esteem. And it may seem a very strange thing to think that horses are mentioned in the Battle of Armageddon in Revelation chapter 19. All through the Bible, you will find horses are mentioned. And I read from Job chapter 39 and verse 19. As I have already stated in the Bible, also in ancient times, horses were held in very high esteem. "Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted, neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalleth the ground with fierceness and rage, neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. And he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting." Now, that's what the Bible has to say about horses. And God has mentioned horses many times throughout the Word of God. When these four horsemen gallop across the pages of the book of Revelation, one day what they represented will certainly come to pass. I talked in our last study concerning the reasons why that this rider represents the Antichrist seated upon a white horse. Christ will be seated upon a white horse, but the devil is an imitator. And the scripture says that he comes with one crown upon his head. The scripture says that Jesus will come with many crowns upon his head. Then notice that Jesus has a sword. This man has a bow, but no arrow. He comes out with a cry of peace upon his lips. And the Bible said he will take the kingdom by flattery. He comes in a restless world to declare that he is the man of peace, that he has come to bring peace to a restless and a troubled world. Men will turn their hearts toward him. In fact, the beast will have great power, and the false prophet will also have great power. And the beast or the Antichrist will know when all of these things are coming to pass that he must have a religious system. He will have one, although it will be false. They will join together. Now that is the white horse of Revelation chapter 6. That is the Antichrist. Now, if you will note, when the Antichrist comes, he does not reveal himself in the beginning as the vicious character that he really is. This period of time is Daniel's 70th week, the time of Jacob's trouble, which represents a period of 7 years or less. This is divided into two segments. 3 years and a half, that's the beginning of sorrows, the rise of the Antichrist. Then in the middle of the week, when the Jews realize that they made a covenant with the Antichrist, the covenant of the league will be broken. Then in great fury, he turns his wrath against the Jews, tries to destroy the Jews from the face of the earth. And the latter half of the week is what is known as the Great Tribulation, or the wrath of an angry God. Now notice in the 6th chapter when the red horse comes out. Now this man comes forth to bring peace. But it's not too long until he comes out not as the man of peace, but he comes out as the man of war. The red horse, the Bible said, will take peace from the earth. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4. And as I've stated a number of times in these studies, that Revelation is a great book, but Matthew 24 is a commentary on many aspects of the book of Revelation, especially chapter 6 of that wonderful book. Notice he comes out on a white horse. He is the Antichrist. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4 said there would be many come in their name, many false Christs. They will say that I am the Christ, but Jesus said to believe them not. I am of the opinion that when I see Christ, I'm going to see somebody quite a bit different than Father Divine or Daddy Grace or anybody else that poses to be Jesus Christ. I'm going to see Christ with a name upon his vesture and upon his thigh. It's going to be called King of Kings and Lord of Lords when I see Jesus. Now, this Antichrist offered peace, but it was false peace. Peace pacts are broken. Did you know the scripture said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3 that in the last days there would be truce breakers? In the last days there would be truce breakers. And if you let that soak in for just a minute or so, truce breakers, they will give you that word. They will sign a peace treaty. But yet, that peace treaty will be broken. Truce breakers. Now let me go a little further here. At the close of World War I, everybody was tired of war. They formed the League of Nations to outlaw war forever. Didn't work, my friends. At the close of World War II, they formed United Nations. They was going to outlaw war forever. Brought Russia in. And the very first meeting they had, they were afraid that they might offend Russia, and they did not open the first session with prayer in the United Nations. Let me tell you, everything has failed. The League of Nations, the United Nations, they have all failed to bring peace upon this earth. The Antichrist, he came saying, I will bring peace. He failed. Because when the red horse came out, there was war in the earth. You will never have universal peace in this world until peace comes by Jesus Christ, because He is the Prince of Peace. Now, that's the only way that we will ever have peace in the world. From the year of 1943 until 1941, Germany broke 69 treaties. Can you imagine that? Truce breakers. From 1933 to 1941, Germany broke 69 treaties that she had signed, and the nations accepted them with all confidence and trust in their hearts. But Germany broke 69 in a period of about 8 years. I want to turn to the 38th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to notice a scripture that God tucked in that precious book a long time ago. Chapter 38. And if you will note verse 21, and this is what's going to happen. "And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother." I want you to note something here, and I have already mentioned this one time before. Even when John, back in the days of the apostles, the early church, John wrote a letter to a group of Christians. He gave them admonition. He said the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. Even in the earliest days of the New Testament church, the spirit of Antichrist was already in the world. But the church is acting as a levy, as that restraining force to keep the spirit of Antichrist from coming to a head. But when the church has been translated, when the church has been raptured, when the church has been taken out of the way, then the spirit of Antichrist is coming to a head in a man that is called the Antichrist. Now then, the spirit of rebellion has been in the world. The hatred, brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor, all of that has been in the world for all of these many years. Sin will never come to a head until the church has been taken out of the way. Then when the church has been taken out of the way, the Antichrist will come. Blood will flow like water upon the earth in Revelation chapter 6, as this is mentioned to us by the red horse that came, and the rider on him had power to take peace from the earth. Let me tell you, we'll never have peace upon this earth until he of whose right it is to reign shall come again, and that rightful one is none other than Jesus Christ. The second horseman is going to bathe the world in blood. You talk about a bloodbath. The scripture said in the verse that I read, killing one another, killing their brother, neighbor against neighbor, brother against brother, an American killing an American, a Russian killing a Russian, an Italian killing an Italian. In this time, there'll be class wars. There'll be religious wars. There'll be race wars. All the wars that we've ever read about or known anything about will seem mild when the church has been taken up and all of the evil and the sin really breaks forth in the world. The wars that we have read about will seem mild to the wars that's going to come in Daniel's 70th week of prophecy. The world has never seen anything like it. It's dangerous now to walk down the street at night or in broad daylight. You may get robbed before you get home. Somebody may kill you before you get home tonight. Now, that's not much encouragement, but that's the way it is. Somebody just walks out and they go berserk and they take a gun and start shooting at somebody. Not because they even know you. Not because they have anything against you, but they just start shooting people. Why? Why? It's because the spirit of rebellion is in the minds of this generation. People will get together and form gangs, go tear up schoolhouses, buildings. What for? I just want to tear up something. I just want to tear up something. But it's all going to come to a head over here. Brother against brother. Hear me as I preach tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This red horse. Now I realize that the communist nations are recognized as the Reds. And you've only got to think back for a little while of what you have read and heard about the purge in Russia, in China, North Korea. That's all you've got to do is just to think a little bit. Over there, when somebody thinks against the establishment, they don't pet them and say that you have a right to speak. They purge them. They kill them. They put them out of commission. That's what's going to happen here. There'll be class wars. There'll be wars of all kinds. Religious wars. And people would be purged by the thousands and thousands. Why, my friend? Because sin has finally come to a head. The reaping time will be here. I want to read another scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the first three verses. Now this describes what I'm talking about tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the first three verses. What are the times and the seasons, brethren? You have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, what is it that's going to come as a thief in the night? The day of the Lord. For when they shall say, peace and safety, this is the cry of the Antichrist. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. That's why I've devoted my time in preaching these series of messages, is to let you know that it's possible that the day of the Lord is going to creep upon a lot of people as a thief in the night. But I know what's coming. You know what's coming. This Bible tells us what's coming. I don't have any time to sleep. I don't have any time to sit down and take it easy. I want to warn. I want to preach. And I want to tell you, my friend, this scripture tells me when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction is coming. Then men will realize and recognize that what we have said and preached and talked about is absolutely going to come to pass. Now let's move on. Notice the third seal. Now, I want to note this carefully. I'm going to cover all of this, and it won't take me but a few more minutes. Let me go now to Revelation chapter 6 again. And I come to the third seal, verse number 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now notice that this rider, when the third seal was open, a black horse. If you'll stop for a minute and think, famines always follows war. Always follows war. The black horse. Now, this man did not have a sword. He did not have a bow. The scripture said that He came forth with a pair of scales in his hands. Famines follows wars. Let me read you something that I picked up quite some time ago relative to famines. It goes way back many years. In the year 1016, a famine in Europe affected 30 million people. In the year of 1162, a universal famine, it affected 80 million people. 1344 in India, a famine affected 90 million people. In the year of 1769, 103 million people were affected. In 1877 in China, 116 million people affected. In 1920 in Europe, 255 million people affected. In the year of 1920 in Europe, 255 million. In 1946, in Europe, India, and China, 500 million people were affected by a famine. Now, this famine that we're talking about right here will be worldwide. This man came forth with a pair of scales. And I have looked into this quite at length, and this is what we come up with. The daily wage of a worker was only a penny. He had to spend everything he made that day for food, and that really was only enough for him. But he had to divide it with his family. The oil and the wine now said, don't touch that. The warlords had plenty of oil and plenty of wine. But the poor man, all he made in a day was a penny. And he had to spend everything he made for food for himself. It's always been a rich man's war and a poor man's fight. It's always been that. The rich has got richer and the poor has got poorer. But you wait till this universal famine shall come in the day of this tribulation period when peace is taken from the earth. Wars and rumors of wars will come. There will be a famine that will affect the entire world. I know this may seem in a land of plenty, in a world of what we think is plenty. This may be a shock to some of you tonight. But right tonight, I mean this night, 1 billion people will go to bed tonight without sufficient food. There's 400 million people up on the face of this earth tonight that stands in danger of starving to death. And so many people that left a well-spread table tonight can eat and get up and walk away and never say thank you, Jesus Christ, for anything they consume. That's right. You hear me tonight. No wonder the Bible said that in the last days that men would be unthankful and unholy. Jesus Christ taught we ought to thank God daily for our food, for our shelter, and for our raiment. Somebody said, well, I've never heard of a famine like that. Let me read you something. Jeremiah's book is called the Lamentations. Let me read you something from chapter 4 and verse 9. They that be slain with a sword are better than they that be slain with hunger. For these pine away, stricken through for want of the fruits of the field. This text is telling me that it's better that a man will die by the sword than to die by hunger. He just pines away. He desires the fruits of the field, but somehow they never get there. Let me read another verse to you from the same book, chapter 5 and verse 10. Listen to this. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. Somebody says these things will never be. You see this book? This is not the book of man. This is a book of God. Everything that he ever said in this book, I don't care how far-fetched it might seem, is coming just like God said it would come. People may call me old-fashioned, and they do. People, they have poked fun and they made light of my vision of the book of Revelation. They don't believe what I believe. They don't teach what I teach. They drag this precious church, which is the apple of His eye. This church is a heartthrob of Jesus Christ. They drag it off down in here somewhere, and after they went through a period of purification and perfection, they'll be raptured somewhere down here. But praise God, when I look at the church of Jesus Christ, and this church is flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone, and when I look at that verse in Ephesians chapter 5, I can realize that we are part of Him, flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. And the Bible said, no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but cherished it and nourished it, even as the Lord the church. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Famine is coming. 1 billion people are hungry tonight, somewhere in the world. Listen, I want to go now to the fourth horseman, Revelation chapter 6. We have covered the white horse. The Antichrist had the cry of peace on his lips. Number two, the red horse that took peace from the earth. Number three, the black horse that brought famine, the time of the tribulation. Now let's read chapter 6, verse 8. And I looked and behold a pale horse. His name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. That's why we are not going through tribulation. Praise God. Now then, if famine follows war, then death follows famine. A pale horse, livid and corpse-like in color. That's the aftermath of war and famine. Death-dealing plagues will take place in the tribulation period. And nothing like it that you've ever read about or know anything about can be compared to what's coming in the tribulation period. I want to go to Ezekiel. Chapter 14 and verse 21. Now the Lord said that I'm going to send four sword judgments upon the earth. Now you get this. Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 21. My four sore judgments. Number one is a sword. Number two is a famine. Number three will be beast. Number four, a pestilence. Notice, pestilence. Now, I realize tonight that this word has a double meaning in many cases. Sometimes it means insects that destroys the crops, the gardens. But in this particular sense, pestilence means diseases. The doctors, everybody that is involved with the health of this world, they are very much amazed and alarmed at the spread of different kinds of diseases among the people of this generation. Now, God said, that's my four sword judgments that's coming upon this earth. Pestilence. Different types of sicknesses. Diseases. People are dying. You go to the doctor and they don't know what's the matter with you. They call it a virus. Go home, you might get better. You go home and die. Like the doctor started out to practice and he didn't know too much, and a fellow came to him one day. He said, I'm really sick, doctor. And the doctor looked at him and he didn't know what was the matter with him. He said, have you ever had this before? He said, yes, I have. Well, he said, you got it again. And that's about the way it works in a lot of cases. But you hear me? God said, I'm going to send my four sore judgments upon the earth. A sword. Men shall die by the sword. They shall die by famine. They shall die by the wild beast. And they will die with sicknesses and diseases. That will all take place in the great tribulation period. But thank God for the Christian, there's hope tonight. Hallelujah. Let me tell you again, there's hope tonight for that born again child of God. When these four horsemen come galloping across the face of this earth in the tribulation period, men are going to wake up to something. It may be too late, but they're going to wake up. Any deadly disease can grip the bodies of men in the tribulation period. Death will come to claim men and women. Death will be the custodian of the body. Hell or Hades followed to claim their souls. Hades is a place of departed spirits, but Christians can rejoice. God has always had his lots. He's always had his Noahs. But remember, he's always had a place for them. When Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed, he called Lot out. His family came with him, his wife, two single daughters. His married daughters were left behind. But those that came out of Sodom and Gomorrah constituted a family, and they all had the same name. God got him out. He's going to get us out. God had a Noah, but he told him to prepare an ark. And Noah and his family went into that ark. Everybody that went into that ark was a family. They all had the same name. Hallelujah. Does that mean anything to you tonight? Listen, we have something to rejoice about tonight because of the fact we have been named after him. He is our name tonight. Praise God. We